You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca.
No more overtime for you, as the JMO man is going to start coming back in and shifts starting on Tuesday.
Well, as happy as I am, I know all the listeners are even happier. So I can't wait to hear him. I can't wait to hear him crack a mic and say something. I waited too long for his football stories and his commentary on the Elks and the Oilers and all that. So it really has been anticipated for a long time. And it really didn't have a date. We just sort of knew it was coming, but now we finally know when he's back in, and I can't wait for it. I'm assuming you've already booked him ahead of me as a guest, so.
Yeah, that's right, Al. Little rarely do I pull out the seniority card, but that was the one with Dave that I pulled out, and he was like, "That's fair." So
there you go. There's nothing wrong with that.
So we'll see. Let's get to speaking of seniority. The Daryl Sutter definitely has some coaching seniority, and you know, the Flames, while they didn't love their game start to finish, they had the start they wanted. They got up 3-1. They've yet to lose a game when they score first, just like the Edmonton Oilers in this postseason. The Flames were the NHL's best team at scoring first in the regular season. So that's a trend. That's kind of part of their character a little bit, LT. The Oilers did improve under Jay Woodcroft because they were ridiculously bad early on this season in scoring first. And in the postseason, they're 50%. They've scored first four times. They've given up the first goal four times. But guess what? When they score first, they're 4-0. When they give up the first goal, they're 0-4. I'm no mathematician, Al, but it seems like there's a trend here that benefits the Oilers.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think the problem is when you have one game to go on, that's all you have. And right now, Oiler fans are looking at, you know, disaster, and they're like, oh, this is awful. It's the worst thing ever. And remember, you know, this is a team that didn't make the playoffs last year in Calgary. This is a team that played four times against the Oilers, won twice. This is a team that has built-in advantages. I think their build started in a more constructed way earlier, and they're a little ahead of the Oilers. So, you know, I think a lot of people favored Calgary going in. They have home ice. A lot of those things are true. However, in game one, the Oilers really didn't get a chance to play their game. And you know, I read all kinds of things about, you know, you can't play Mike Smith. Well, Mike Smith, when he's healthy this year, and you pointed this out, has been excellent. He was not excellent in the game, in game number one. Sometimes, you know, that occurs. They couldn't settle down. But the idea that the Oilers, I've read that they're going to be swept, that you might as well bring the rookies. That's one game. We'll see, I think, a better effort tonight, a more constructive effort tonight. And especially if they win or get the first goal, that allows them to kind of settle into the game a little more. And there's enough young players here. This is the second time that Connor McDavid has been in a second round in his NHL career. So they're still growing and they're still learning. And that goal game, that 9-6 game the other night, I think the coach Woodcroft called it a learning experience or a lessons learned. Well, that, you know, that's part and parcel of this. So I'm excited for tonight. I think the Oilers are going to obviously show their best. I don't think it's a must win, but you'd like to see them cut the goals against way down, and I think they will. I think they'll play much better defensively, and that's defense, goal, and up front.
Al Mitchell joins us, a.k.a. Low Tide on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. LT, the injury to Darnell Nurse, it's obvious he's got one. I don't think you can't sugarcoat it. It's limiting him in what he can do on the ice. I would consider going Kulak with CeCe and Nurse with Barry to limit some of the you know, the potential pressure of Nurse. Now, I know that's hard to do because if he's in the lineup, you feel, hey, if he's healthy enough to play, then he's healthy enough to play, right? So I understand it's a conundrum a little bit, but what do you think of that? Or is that just something you can't do?
Oh, no, I think Kulak is not, he's not going to run people over, but he has great speed, and the Oilers need that on the pairing that's going to play big minutes. And with Nurse, you know, it's from what the injury has been described to me, this is a guy who we know how fast he is. He's just not as fast as normal. So, you know, if you play Nurse with Barry on the third pair and suddenly Nurse has it, like it's his night, he feels good and he's playing well, you can always move him up. But the great thing about acquiring Kulak is you've got another fast train on that left side. And honestly, from the right side, CeCe has, you know, he's proven to be the best two-way and certainly shot down or suppression defenseman on the right side all year. So for me, it's an advantage to be able to have Kulak to move him up there. And then Nurse Barry, you know, they play together a lot, and if they play well together, maybe they take some more minutes. So it might create a competition, and the only downside is you're not going to have that physicality of Nurse on the top pair, but, you know, you live with that because you don't want to get beaten too much to the outside, and the Flames can whip that puck around really quickly, so you've got to react quickly. And if you're not 100%, as is the case with Nurse, then that's, you know, beyond frustrating because your body won't take you where it needs to be.
Yeah, for sure. Warren Fogle comes in. Chris Russell, it looks like, could be coming out. Now, the morning skate lines from Jay Woodcroft, we've learned, don't always mean that's what's going to be the evening lines, if you know what I mean. But they had Kane, Drysdale, McDavid. I know Devin Shore was holding the card for Drysdale, but obviously Shore's not playing there. Do you think he loads up with his top three scorers on one line?
Well, he might. What I was interested in is that he invested some I would say, like Hyman with Nuge, that gives Nuge a better chance to have success. Nuge had a tough night. A lot of guys did. He did, too. So I think with Dreisaitl, with his passing ability, and you know, those are two big men on the wings, Dreisaitl and Kane, they should be able to keep possession down low, even with Dreisaitl's injury. He's such a good passer. I think that's a line that could have not just possession time, but prolonged possession time in the offensive end. And then you're asking McLeod to do a lot, but Yamamoto and Fogle are an interesting group. I was a little surprised they didn't go with Nuge and Ryan with Fogle, and maybe that happens. But it's the idea of having one big line in McDavid, Kane, and Dreisaitl, I've always felt is really compelling, and the only reason you'd go away from it, and I think it's wise to go away from it, is if Dreisaitl can play center. Now, he can win faceoffs, but at center, he's just going to get passed because he doesn't have that push-off ability. So you reduce the defensive assignments, depending upon how the game goes, if you move Dreisaitl to right wing. So it makes sense from that point of view. If you're going to play him on right wing, play him with McDavid because those guys have such great chemistry.
Yeah, no, it's totally fair on that one. What do you make of Yamamoto and Puljujärvi in game one?
Well, I thought Yamamoto scored and he had an assist. He tied the game. He was everywhere. He was very disruptive. And I thought if they'd won that game, we'd be talking about Yamamoto. You know, he scored 20 goals this year. You know, I know he's small, but he will not give up. I love that about him. And I thought Puljujärvi skated better. Now, I don't think you're going to get. I think Puljujärvi's with Nuge and Hyman. I don't think you're going to get a big time goal scorer from Puljujärvi. But if he can skate, he can forecheck really well, and he can do it a different way what Yamamoto does, and that's turn over pucks and create havoc and really drive the opposition crazy. Puljujärvi can make the other team mad, just in a different way than Yamamoto. So I thought he skated as well in game one as he has all during the playoffs. And hopefully that's a sign of things to come. Because as big as he is, you know, and as much reach as he has, none of what he does works well unless he's skating really well. And he started to do that, I think, in game one.
Yeah, he's got a, you know what, there was a few things I saw. There was the one shift where I actually carried the puck into the zone, cut across the middle, came down the boards, button hooked, and made a play. And he hadn't made a play with the puck, Al, I don't think, in three games. So,
yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, so that to me was just, I think a lot of Puljujärvi's struggles lately have come between his ears. I think it's a little bit of a lack of confidence. You know, it was interesting talking about with a coach about shift length. And guys who were taking such quick shifts, it's almost like they're just, I want to get on the ice, but I want to get off before a mistake happens. And confident players are like, you know, sure they come off, but, you know, they don't take the 25, 27, 30-second shifts all the time, right? And so Puljujärvi's shift length actually was up a little bit higher. So it's small little details, but maybe because they desperately need them. Like, you can't have guys, you can't have too many players who aren't contributing. And contributing isn't just on the score sheet, but it's like emotionally. Are you making more positive plays than negative plays? And, you know, with the puck, what kind of plays are you making with the puck? And if Puljujärvi can start making more plays with the puck, well, then that's obviously going to increase their odds of maybe one of those plays going in the net.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's very disruptive. And you know, it's been, I think, since COVID in December that he hasn't been the player with the puck that we saw in the first 3 months of the year. But you know, if he can pop in a couple of goals in this series, that's a huge deal. Any of these kids, you know, I know everybody's down on McLeod, but he's skating really well, and I think that one of the advantages some of these young Oilers have is that you know the Flames do have a big tough third pairing, but you got to catch them to do anything to them, and all of the young players, Puljujärvi, McLeod, Yamamoto, they're fast and quick, and they can do things. So for all three of them, you know, we look at this, I think we look at this series like the Oilers are somehow fully formed because they're in the second round, but there's some of these guys like Ryan McLeod who are just starting out, and if he could, you know, score a couple of goals in this series, no matter what happens, then that's something to build on for next year. And I don't know, Jason, that he's going to be a 15-goal scorer or ever play top 6 minutes. I don't know that. But you know what else? I don't know that he won't, because his speed is a big advantage. So for McLeod and all those young players, you know, playing well 200 feet is great, but this team needs to get some secondary scoring. And if it comes from the young players, then that's great. And at this point, Puljujärvi was drafted in 2016, and I know people compare him to Tkachuk, but that ship has sailed. What they need is a guy who can play 200 feet, but he has to contribute some offensively, as do McLeod and Yamamoto.
Yeah, it's totally fair. It's like comparing Reinhardt. He's never going to be Leon Draisaitl, right? It's not going to happen. He was taken ahead of him. You know, picks, sometimes they work out better than you hope they're going to be, no question. Al, what type of game are you expecting tonight? Do the Oilers bounce back? Do they lose a close one? Is it 1-1? Is it 0-2? Are we seeing overtime? What's your crystal ball telling us?
I think it'll be much better played game. I think the coaches will be far more pleased on both sides with what they see. And I think it's going to go to overtime just because it's starting late, Jason, and because I'll be having my prune juice around the beginning of the third period, and then I'll have something else a little stronger at the beginning of overtime. But I think this is going to be an early morning game for Alberta. I think it'll get done after midnight.
What's your drink of choice after prune juice, Al?
Look, I've only been around for a few decades. I don't know, but I think I'll find out tonight. I've got a fairly well-stocked cabinet, I'll say that.
Smart, Al. Smart. Veteran move. Veteran move. Al, enjoy the game.
I will. You too, sir.